Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the epistles of Paul the Apostle. It comes from his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Hear these words. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are therefore ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Andrew shared with us that this concept of old versus new. You see, sometimes we need that burst of newness, and sometimes it's helpful for us as we're trying to learn about our place in the world to see things through fresh eyes. Have you ever really looked at something? This morning I want to say in particular, have you ever really looked up close in the face of a duck? It's an interesting experience. Andrew had down there, I mentioned him because he had that little rubber duck, and I was reminded of this, that the duck has something right there on the front of its face. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but ducks wear little tiny dog masks on the front of their face. They have a little, there's the duck head, and then there's this thing on front, and it's a dog mask. If you don't believe me, look it up. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Get your phone out. I give you permission. You can Google this right now. Ducks wearing dog masks. It's the truth. You might not have never seen this phenomenon, but trust me, once you see it, it cannot be unseen. You will never again look at a duck and not say, that guy's wearing a duck mask, or he's wearing a dog mask on his face. I guarantee you, go look at a picture and you will see what I'm saying. Once you see it, it can't be unseen. That's called a paradigm shift, folks. Paradigm shifts happen in our life all the time, especially when we're young. We had a little baby up here. oh man, she's had such a paradigm shift. Everything old has passed away, and there's a new creation. I had to practice this. I have to confess, this is the first baptism, first one they let me do, and I had to practice holding a baby. So Caroline and I went to visit our little niece, and so I had some practice carrying around a young person the past few weeks, and oh man, she's experiencing paradigm shifts all the time. When she wants to color, this is one of her favorite activities. She wants to go and draw a picture and color. She'll say purple, purple. That's the only color she knows, and that's her favorite color. And I'm sure Caroline would tell me she knows all sorts of colors by now. But that's what she says when she wants to draw is purple, and that's going to be a paradigm shift for her when she realizes, hey, there's a bunch of other colors out there too. We experience these paradigm shifts in our lives all the time, don't we? We think we know how something works. We think we know how the world is, how we are. And then something comes along like a duck and just blows that all out of the water. This happened to me once. I was just going about my day, walking down the street. And you didn't know me. This was before I came here. But I used to have this long, luxurious flowing hair, and I was going about my business, and there's this child that her mother has her hand, and that child just stops and does a double take at me, and she said, is that a girl? Because she'd never seen a guy with long hair before. But I was like, oh, a girl, I have the beard, and can't you tell that? Okay, well, I'll let her have that when she doesn't know any better. But she experienced a paradigm shift that day. She said, okay, guys can have long hair too. I see that there was this old way of understanding things, and then there was this new way. If you've got your phone out, ducks do have dog masks. Go look it up. Now, to turn to the scripture. I think that's exactly what's happening in our scripture this morning. You see, when Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he's letting them know, hey, y'all are living in some old paradigm. You're living in some old way of understanding things. He says, we knew Christ from a human point of view, but we no longer know him in that way. See, he's introducing this new paradigm. The old has passed away, and in Christ we are a new creation. Paul never knew Christ. Paul never knew Jesus from that human point of view. Did you know that? Christ was crucified before Paul became the Apostle Paul. He didn't get to meet Jesus in that human way. And really the only way he knew Christ was from that non-human, that risen point of view. Paul, to give you a little bit of perspective on his story, he didn't start out as a Christian. The Christian church was very early in its development at that time, and Paul was actually a Pharisee, one of the Jewish leaders that led the Jewish people in understanding the scriptures that are our Old Testament and knowing how they can put those into practice in their lives. But Paul was a particularly zealous individual, and when he discovered what Christians were saying about the Jewish God and how that God became flesh and was revealed in Jesus Christ, ooh, Paul did not like that. He said, I'm going to put an end to this. And Paul was very adamant in going out against the church. He persecuted Christians and did everything in his power to stop the Christian church. But then he had a paradigm shift. But then he had an experience where he saw something like a duck that he couldn't unsee. You see, Paul was on his way. He had been sent to do some persecution in Damascus, and he was on that Damascus road, and he had an experience. He literally met the risen Jesus. He saw Jesus on that road, and it forever changed the way that Paul saw the world. It completely changed who Paul was as a person. He went from being a person who persecuted the church to being a person who led the church. It says that Paul was actually struck blind for several days afterwards. When I say it changed the way Paul saw things, it literally changed the way he saw the world. He didn't regain his sight until he had a run-in with this guy, Ananias. Ananias was a Christian who was told through a vision, a word from the Holy Spirit, hey, Ananias, I'm going to call you to go lay hands over and pray for Paul. He said, you mean Paul, like the Pharisee Paul. He said, yeah, you need to go pray for Paul. Can you imagine that situation being Ananias? Here's this guy, Paul, who all you know about him is this old paradigm that Paul was living in. This is the guy that was persecuting the church. I'm part of the church. I'm a Christian, and you're asking me to go sit in a room with this guy. And the Spirit says, yes, that's what I'm calling you to do. And it says Paul's sight was restored when Ananias came and laid hands on Paul and prayed for Paul. And it says something like scales fell from his eyes. You see, that's this ministry that we're called into. That's what our scripture this morning's talking about. That's how we get from that old paradigm to this new paradigm, this new place of experiencing the world in light of Christ's resurrection. It says that we are ambassadors for Christ in a ministry of reconciliation. You might not be familiar with this word, but reconciliation is a rebuilding of human relationships that were broken. Those were some pretty broken relationships between Paul and Ananias. I'm positive neither one of them wanted to be in the room with one another. Paul was probably thinking, I was on the road to Damascus to persecute. And to be in the room with somebody who is my enemy, what will they think of me? They don't understand this experience I've been through. And perhaps Ananias said, how can I be in the room with this person who probably has personally hurt Ananias by being violent towards the people that he knew in his community? So this is this essence of this ministry of reconciliation. Paul writes this letter out of personal experience, having experienced this new life-giving phenomenon, this paradigm shift in Christ, this ministry of reconciliation. We might say that for somebody to reconcile something, that is often a phrase used when somebody might believe something and then live another way, we say, how could you reconcile those two points of view? It's often about this bringing together. Reconciliation is about this bringing together of things that seem like they're diametrically opposed, that there's no way they could ever mesh and be in harmony with one another. Yet, that's the ministry that Paul says the church is called to here in 2 Corinthians, a ministry of reconciliation, bringing together those things which people think cannot exist alongside one another. In the Gospel of Matthew, I think this is perfectly summed up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, where Christ is letting them know, hey, this is a paradigm shift. Jesus did this all the time. He would say these words, you've heard it said, ... but I say. So he says this. He says, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's the old paradigm. And then he gives them this new one, and he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." I think Ananias had probably heard that saying of Jesus. He must have. He must have heard that word from Jesus in order to go into that room and to lay hands on a man who he probably adamantly opposed as a human being. There is not enough time there yet for this man to say, "I forgive you." But he was called into that room, asked to lay hands on him and say, "I'm going to pray for you, even though you've persecuted me." That's a hard, challenging message for us today, isn't it? We are called, it says, to this ministry of reconciliation. God's entrusted that to us, the scripture says, and we are ambassadors for Christ in that endeavor. This is a message of challenge, and it's a call for all people in the church. And this is who the church is called to be. It's hard to do. We have people in our lives, I think all of us, that we would rather not see again. We'd rather not be in a room with. We'd rather not put our hands on them, and we sure would not let them put their hands upon us. We don't want to offer our prayers to them, and we don't want to hear what they would have to say in a prayer for us. But what would it look like if we were a church that practiced that ministry of reconciliation? I'm not asking anybody to put themselves in a dangerous situation. Hear that. I don't want anybody to think that if somebody has wronged you, that there's not a process to that forgiveness. And if somebody is persecuting you, that you go put yourself in harm's way in a way that is foolish, per se. But we are called to that ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes we have to get a little creative about how we do that. But the question I want us to hear in this is a question of, are we taking on our role as ambassadors for this ministry? Are we putting ourselves in a position to touch and to love and to pray for those that are our enemies? Are we willing to work for their good? Or are we a church that puts up barriers between ourselves and those who we claim to be our enemies? Do we push them away and block them out with our words and our actions? That's the question. Christ calls us to this ministry. Christ calls us to be reconciled with one another. And I believe that is at the center of who we are as a church. And that once we experience that, we might find ourselves saying, "I don't know if I can do that." But maybe we're still like Paul was in his story. Maybe we're still struck blind, waiting for somebody to come along and show us the way by placing their hands on us so the scales can fall from our eyes. Maybe we are like Ananias and we're wrestling with what it means to be the one that initiates that reconciliation. Wherever you find yourself on this journey with different people, I just give you this, that Christ has revealed himself to us. He has shown us the way in which we are to live as Christians and has set that example for us through that ministry of reconciliation, where it says that God was reconciling himself to us. And once you see that, it can't be unseen. Once you hear those words, they can't be unheard. And trust me, once you take part in that ministry of reconciliation, it will be difficult. It'll be a hard process, but if you reach out and touch somebody If you reach out with prayer to them, something's done there and it can't be undone. Have you seen Christ on your road to Damascus? If you've seen him, it can't be unseen. Amen.